All right. Today, we are going to be coming from the book of 1 Corinthians. Now, while we turn to 1 Corinthians, the series that we are going to do is called United We Stand. And some of us know that phrase, United We Stand, and then there's the second part of that, Divided We Fall. We're going to be addressing that and what Paul specifically has to say in the book of 1 Corinthians. And once you get to 1 Corinthians, you're going to turn to chapter 1. That's what this series is going to be. If the Lord says the same, this will be a three-part series coming from 1 Corinthians chapter 1. If you need some help finding it, if you have a physical Bible, there's a table of contents. Turn to that table of contents. There's a New Testament section. Go to the New Testament section, and then you'll see Matthew, then Mark, then Luke, then John, Acts, Romans, and then 1 Corinthians. Go to that page number, and once you get to that page number, you're already where you need to be at chapter 1. Then you're going to find the little number, verse 12. And we're going to start from there. This scripture will be coming from really up to verse 17, the first part of 17, but we are going to move how the Spirit wants us to move. Now, that said, my notes are being a little weird today. That's what happens with technology, but the Lord is still good, and I am working on seeing if I can get it another way. Amen. We'll see how long this works. But God is good. So, 1 Corinthians, first chapter, 12 through 13 verses. I'll be reading out of the Christian Standard Bible version. You will find similar words printed in your text. 1 Corinthians, first chapter, 12th verse, reads as follows. It says, "What I am saying is this. One of you says, I belong to Paul, or I belong to Apollos, or I belong to Cephas, or I belong to Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in Paul's name?" The title from which I am coming from today is as follows. Stop thinking which denomination is better. Stop thinking which denomination is better. You may be seated. Now, some of y'all are looking at me confused because I thought this was St. John Baptist Church. And aren't you a Baptist preacher? So obviously, you know, when you could have chosen to be Presbyterian, could have chosen to be Lutheran, could have chosen to be Catholic. But here you are, Pastor Brooks, as a Baptist preacher, and you gonna say that Baptist ain't the best? If you're online, it's quiet in here. Now, obviously, there's a reason that I prefer the Baptist line of thinking. There's actually a lot of reasons. To sum it up, to me, it makes the most sense. Okay? But the problem happens when I'm speaking with my Kojic folk, Church of God in Christ. And start talking about how Baptists are bitter. The problem is when I start speaking to Episcopalians and Methodists and start talking about how they're so wrong and they need to be listening to what we're doing here at St. John Baptist Church. And the problem is when we are so stuck in our different denominations that we refuse to work together. Now, some of us have been around churches for a long time, and you know things go real deep when it comes to division in the body of Christ. But some of you might be new to this. Some of you are saying, what is going on? And specifically, Pastor James, why don't different denominations of Christianity work together? Why not? Why don't we collaborate? Why don't we work it out with others? Why is there an issue? You know, if they're AME and they're Episcopalian and we're Baptist, what is the problem? And this is the question that Paul is starting to attack in the book of 1 Corinthians. Now, to start, there were no such thing as Episcopalians or Pentecostals or Catholics or Baptists by name back then. However, there were divisions. Even just a couple of decades after Christ did what he did on this earth. And so Paul is speaking to this, and he starts by emphasizing that Jesus Christ is our Lord, and that he is the focus of our faith. And this is important. When you read the greeting that he has from verses 1-9, which we're about to do, I want you to see, and in fact, I'm going to try to help you to see. If you look on the screen, you'll see that there's some highlighted in blue. There's some highlighted in yellow. The way I do it is to emphasize blue is talking about when we're talking about Christ, and yellow is going to be talking about our unity, okay? And I just want you to see how lit up this scripture gets. Verse 1, it says, Paul, called as an apostle of Christ Jesus by God's will, and Sosthenes, our brother, to the church of God at Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, emphasis Christ Jesus, called as saints, with who? All those in every place who call on the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, both their Lord and ours. Verse 3, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank my God for you because of the grace of God given to you, who? In Christ Jesus, that you were enriched with him, in him, in every way, in all speech and all knowledge. Verse 6, in this way, the testimony about Christ was confirmed among you, so that you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. He will also strengthen you to the end, so that you will be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Starting to notice a theme here? Verse 9, God is faithful. You were called by him into what? Fellowship with who? His son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Y'all see how Paul starts off 1 Corinthians? There is an emphasis that Jesus is our Lord. There's an emphasis that is all about Jesus. And so why in the world, if Jesus Christ is our Lord and he's the focus of our faith, why in the world are we divided?
This is what Paul is going to be talking about. And what we see is that when we talk about division, division happens when differences define us. Now, being different is fine. Being divided is not. There's a difference. Y'all see that? No pun intended. Being different is not the problem. Being divided is. I want to clear this up because some people are saying this is why we shouldn't have Baptists, we shouldn't have Pentecostals. Listen, the problem is not having a Baptist church. And if I could talk to Baptists, the problem is not even having different conventions, really, in the Baptist church. If you know, you know. That's not really the problem. The problem is not that we have a Baptist church on our name. And the problem is not, you know, the AME church around the corner. The problem is not the Catholic church up Vermont. That's not the problem. The problem, I'm thinking Figueroa maybe, or Hoover, one of those two streets. The problem is when we see that as a source of division. And this is where Paul is coming from. Verse 10, he says, "Now I urge you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree on what you say." Remember, based off of this whole thing about Jesus, right? It's all about Jesus. He's the focus. He's our Lord, right? "Agree in what you say, that there be no divisions among you, and that you be united with the same understanding and the same conviction." Verse 11, "For it has been reported to me about you." This is Paul talking to the Corinthians now. "For it has been reported to me about you, my brothers and sisters, by members of Chloe's people, that there is rivalry." Everybody say rivalry. Rivalry. "Among you." We got churches being rivals. The Bible wasn't even finished being written, and we already got rival denominations. Jesus prayed for unity not even 20 years before. And we already got rival churches, rival organizations, all saying that they're about Christ. What? But here's the thing about rivalry. See, rivalry, when you think about a rival, that means there's competition. And if there's a competition, that means that there's something to win. What are we supposed to win? By battling the Kojic church. What are we supposed to win when we get into these hot debates with the apostolic church? What are we supposed to, outcome of it, what are we supposed to win? Since there are quote unquote rivals. This is what Paul is attacking, is this idea of needing to win something. Look at verse 12. He says, "What I am saying is this." This is what Paul is hearing. "One of you says, I belong to Paul, or I belong to Apollos, or I belong to Cephas, or I belong to Christ." If it was today, I belong to the Baptist church. I belong to the Orthodox Church. I belong to the Pentecostal, the Presbyterian, let's say, church. And then you know what happens? You got some folk that are fed up with all of it and say, I don't belong to nobody's church. I belong to Christ. Oh, y'all have heard that before, huh? So it never changed, huh? Funny how the Bible still speaks to today, huh? What was going on? What was going on? Now, when you think, analyze the teachings of Paul, Apollos, and Cephas, who, by the way, was Peter, you know, one of the 12 disciples, and perhaps the, you know, the principal, you know, the one you hear about and know about the most, disciple. When you analyze what they taught, you can see a whole lot of what Paul taught. You can see quite a bit of what Peter taught in the Bible, and you can also get a glimpse of what Apollos taught. And then just side note for you Bible scholars out there, to me personally, I feel there's a large body of evidence that supports that Apollos was the one who wrote Hebrews. Now, I'm not saying this is the truth, okay, because we don't know, and we won't know until we get up there. But I think by Apollos' style and whatnot, he might have written Hebrews. Okay, commercial over. Paul, if you summarize all of his teachings, he talks a lot about the cross. He talks a lot about grace. And he talks a lot about being cross-cultural. And then when you talk about Corinth, you know, Paul is, you know, was the founder. He's the one that started it, right? So it would make sense that you would want to follow, you know, what Paul teaches, right? And then somehow you start thinking that this is the St. Paul Church. But then there was Apollos, and Apollos was mentioned as one who was mighty in the scriptures. He was very good at Jewish rhetoric and made excellent arguments. So Apollos was the one. He was one of the smart preachers. You know, he could get real deep and really, you know, pull that Jewish history and all of that and really kind of pull it out. And so that's what Apollos would be focusing on, most likely, is that he would focus on really the interconnectivity of scripture and wisdom and the Jewish faith and whatnot. He would really be focusing on that. Doesn't mean that Paul's wrong. It's just that's what he emphasized. And then you have Peter. So you have Paul for the people who like how things are started. You have Apollos for the people that really like to get deep and really try to do their research. But then you have Peter, Cephas, who's from in the Church of Jerusalem. He walked with Jesus, y'all. He was there firsthand. He did all of this. So you definitely want to listen to Peter. Because, I mean, it's cool and all. Y'all want to talk about God. And Paul saw God, Jesus, you know, in a dream, in a vision and all that. But, I mean, Peter was right with him. He ate with him. He touched him before and after he was resurrected from the grave. I mean, Peter is Peter's probably the person you should listen to. And so then we have the Church of Paul, the Church of Apollos, and the Church of Peter. And what was happening is that they emphasized different points, but they did not talk about a different Christ. Same God, same Jesus, same one as revealed in the scriptures, the same God-man. They might emphasize different parts of the teachings, but same Jesus. And if you really break down a lot of our other denominations, we really do worship the same Jesus. I'm not saying all of them, okay? But I'm saying a lot of them. You know, we worship the same Jesus. Same one who was born through the Virgin Mary. Nobody disagrees about that. You know, among those that are, nobody disagrees that he went and died on the cross for our sins. There's no disagreement there. You know, there's no disagreement about what Jesus came to do and came to teach. But some of us like different portions and emphasize different portions of what the Bible taught. But it's the same Christ. Why are we competing? And so this is the question I was asking the Lord, like, why is it? Why is it? And he led me to study the culture of that time. And in that culture, what would happen in that, you know, the Greco-Roman culture, if you want to be specific, what would happen is that you would have essentially, it was kind of a big thing to have rhetoric and philosophy debates and arguments. It was a big, big thing in that culture. I mean, like really, really big, like we like sports now, that was it. That they loved that. You know, you're talking about, you know, the Aristotles and, you know, and all of those people, like that started all of it. They loved debates. They loved rhetoric. They loved philosophy. They loved seeing, you know, how one argument, you know, can go against another argument. That was their sport in that culture. And so it was also natural to be on somebody's quote-unquote team. Just like we like the Lakers or hate the Lakers, you know, and we root for them when they win or lose. Same thing with the Dodgers. I mean, we can keep going now. Just like that, just that same amount of investment that we have with our sports teams, they were having with people who could argue on stage. And so what was happening is that you have this culture of competition, and you have this culture of aligning yourself with one person because they have such a great argument, and you can't wait until they destroy all those other people over there. That was the sport. That was the culture. That was what was talked about in the news. What was happening was that the church was doing the same thing. This is what they've done all their life, got their favorite philosophers, and now we've got our favorite Christian philosophers. Ooh, but you know, Paul's on top, y'all. You know. Oh yeah. No. Apollos, do you see what Apollos does with that? He takes Paul, he'll rip Paul to shreds. Y'all talking about Apollos? And we got the man who was literally with Jesus? Come on, y'all. We know Peter on top. And then some of us don't like sports, and we say, you know what? I just belong to Christ. I ain't part of none of this. I don't want none of this. I ain't aligning with none of this. They lived in a competitive culture. And unfortunately, they brought that competition in the church. I say the same thing to you. We live in a competitive culture. Don't bring that in the church. Can I tell you how we really are bad at this right now? What happens if I mention the name Trump? Yeah. Online, what you're hearing is nervous laughter. Because what we know that when it comes to Trump or Obama, somebody right now has got a sick stomach because I just mentioned their name. And in fact, I have seen it on social media. Somebody, people you know. There is no possibility that you can be a Christian and a Democrat. No possibility. I'm talking about Christians that you and I might actually know. ain't no way you can vote Republican and call yourself a man or woman of God. Ain't no way. And so here we are, divided. And before there was Trump, before there was Obama, if we really want to go into our church history, there's people by the name of Calvin. The Armenians. Luther, Martin Luther. There's a whole lot of competition that was happening, even back then. And we brought that competition from the world into the church. And look what happened. We're supposed to be in unity. We're supposed to teach the world how to be unified. But instead, the world taught us how to be divided. And this is where Paul is talking about. He said, wait a minute, hold up. Verse 13, is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in Paul's name? And then he goes on, verse 14, he says, I thank God that I baptized none of y'all except Crispus and Gaius. Verse 15, so that no one could say you were baptized in my name. And then he says, actually, I did, in fact, baptize the household of Stephanas. Beyond that, this is Paul talking. I don't recall if I baptized anyone else. All y'all being big about who Paul baptized. And Paul himself is like, I don't really remember. I don't really care. I take the same thing. You know, I don't count how many people I personally baptized. I don't count how many people I personally prayed for. Why does that matter? Why does it matter, St. John, how many people we reach as Baptists, as opposed to how many the AME church reaches? Why are we tracking that? Why are we tracking these statistics? It's because when we talk about statistics, they matter in sports. They matter in competition. Don't bring that competitive spirit in the church. Don't bring that in the church. Because this is a question that we have to ask ourselves. Do we primarily identify ourselves by Christ? Or do we primarily identify ourselves by church? When we talk about us as Christians, are we happy to say that we are followers of Jesus Christ? That we trust him and that we love him and are grateful for what he has done? Or are we just super proud that we're Baptists and that we can stay Baptists around all these Pentecostal folk? Why don't different denominations of Christianity work together? It's because we let our differences make us competitors. We allow that to happen. But Paul comes and says the following in verse 17. He says, for Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Christ did not send me to baptize. And what he meant in context was, Christ did not send me to make sure I got a whole lot of members in my church. Christ did not send me to make sure that my Instagram following is crazy high. Christ did not come to make sure that my glory was being established here on earth. My job was to preach the gospel. It's not to stand out amongst all the other ministers. It's not to stand out amongst all the other denominations. The point is actually to join them. The point is actually to preach the gospel along with them. Because when it comes down to it, there is one team, and that is the team of Jesus Christ, because he is building one kingdom here on earth. So we should be collaborating, not competing. We should be working together, not pitting ourselves against each other. Because the mission is not to win people to our church. The mission is to win people to our Christ. And if we understand, this is why Paul wanted to preach the gospel, is because the gospel in and of itself is the answer to division. The essence of the gospel is rooted in unity. What is the gospel? The gospel is that Jesus Christ came for everybody. He didn't come for just Jews. He didn't come for just Baptists. He came for everybody. He died on that cross for everybody. He shed his blood for everybody. He took the sins of everybody that would trust in him. And he was buried, and on the third day, he what? Rose from the grave for everybody. And then he ascended, and one day he is going to come back to get not just the Baptists, not just Southern Baptists or National Baptists. He coming to get the whole church. That is the point of the gospel. It's rooted in unity. And as I get ready to close, listen, what unites us is stronger than what divides us. What unites us is stronger. Jesus, he's stronger than what divides us. So since I'm mentioning Jesus, let me change the pronouns here. It's the pronouns. I'll say, who unites us is stronger than who divides us. And the reason I'm saying this is because Satan loves division. If you can think about us as the church, not just St. John Baptist Church, but I'm saying the universal church, the one that Jesus came and died for, right, and rose for. Jesus, you know, we are the body of Christ, right? And we are going against, you know, the devil and his whole system and setup of people and folks and all that, powers, principalities, spiritual darkness, y'all, we've heard that, right? So if we are going to fight, if we are going to compete, I'm going to be scientific here. What goes on in the head has to go to the entire body, right? If you want to, you know, back up, and then if you want to, you know, throw a punch, you know, your leg has got to coordinate, right, and pivot, right? And that means your foot got to pivot too. And then, you know, this hand and this arm, it's all got to work for everything to do what you want it to do, right? If we're going to fight against the enemy, right? Imagine if the brain tells you, hey, throw a right hook. And the left leg says, man, I ain't doing that. I ain't working with the arm. This little Baptist arm. Can't stand this Baptist arm. And this, you know, this Kojic leg can't deal with this Presbyterian foot. And, you know, the Catholic leg is why are y'all doing this? And you know what? I'm gonna fight you, Baptist, because you. And this is how we're gonna be fighting. You hear me? If I'm fighting the devil, he really don't have to do anything. Because I'm going to beat my own self up. He just going to sit there and watch. Maybe throw a jab in there just to mess around with things. But he just going to watch. Because we're doing it to ourselves. Why do I say this? And I want to close with this point. When we compete against our own team, the other team wins. We've got so many lost people, y'all. Just in America, we ain't even talking about the other nations. Just in America, we've got lost people. And we have us who know the truth and have been set free by the truth and who love God. And we're divided, beating ourselves up because we don't like who you voted for, beating ourselves up because we don't like how you were baptized, beating ourselves up because communion should mean this one thing, not the other thing. And we got people going to hell, on their way to hell to fry in fire forever. And we sitting here wondering about, if we should be using bread or crackers. Y'all understand what I'm saying? We need to stop looking at other denominations as if they are going against us. When we believe in the same Christ, we are on the same team. And I want to be clear, because some of y'all are saying, well, what about the Jehovah's Witnesses and what about the Mormons and all? Those people do not believe in the same Christ. That's why I said that. We believe in the Christ of the Bible. They literally don't believe that Jesus is who he says he is. So yes, there's a difference there. But to a whole bunch of us that believe in the same Jesus Christ, come on, y'all, we're on the same team. We're part of the same body. So instead of spending our time trying to figure out which body part should win, let's make sure we're united with the head. And that is Christ. When we compete against our own team, the other team wins.